Well, we've been talking about faith in the month of August. And we began by saying, you cannot just be a consumer of the gospel. You have to want to be engaged and have faith that is transformative. And then I talked about faith that was not based on results. That was the second time we talked about that. And that sometimes you'll have things you want, but you got to have faith that God will do that way after you're gone. We cannot be so narrow-minded that everything is for us today. We've got to build a faith that goes beyond our generation. And then Burrell came and talked to us about speaking to your mountain. And I hope and pray that you've been speaking to that mountain in your life. The hard things that need to be moved. And he said that you got to deal with your shame, your guilt and all that stuff and turn around that. And then John came and spoke to us about coming to the light and making sure that we are not having an inverted gospel, that God was the center of our life, not the other way around, we were the center. And so as we finish that class today, I want to talk about faith is a choice that requires implementation. Church, you cannot say, I have faith, but you do nothing about your faith. And yes, we have all kind of stations that we're sitting in right now, but faith is a choice that requires implementation. And we say that you cannot be a man or woman of faith if you're not in Scripture. You will need Scripture to develop faith. We said you need to get in the Word of God on a daily basis. But we also say that it's important that you practice what you say or what you believe to be. And that is an aspect of our faith that needs to come alive. And if you understand that, then today I call you to a choice. Not to hope that just because I've had the message and somehow because they spoke about God, somehow I am going to have faith. It doesn't work like that. We will have to implement that faith. So let's get into it. Yield your heart to God. Joshua 24, 23, 24. He had been telling the Israelites about how God had taken care of Abraham and taken them through just different victories. And at this point was calling them to a decision. He says, now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. Before he says this, he had been trying to convince them why they need to trust God. And then he tells them, now then you need to yield your hearts to God and throw away all the other gods, small g gods that you've had in your lives. The issue with faith is that we have gods that have taken over in our lives. Small g gods that dominate us so much that God is no longer a life as he should be in your life. So then Joshua comes along and tells him, this is not acceptable. You have to yield your hearts to God. And that becomes a question. Do you have idols in your life that have taken over? And God is saying to you today, you need to yield your hearts before him today. You see, when we talk of idols, in the olden days, we built all kinds of things. Today's idols really are quiet things. Let's take the biggest idol, internet. That's the biggest idol today in today's world. It sits in our phones. It sits everywhere. I mean, it's just taken over. We will not believe anything if it's not of God. I mean, if it's not of internet. We have to check the internet to say, if the internet does not say it, we'll not trust it. It has to be of the internet to trust that. No, you need to trust the Word of God. What do you trust? How do you confirm God's will? Do you confirm God's will through Scripture, or do you confirm God's will through figures, science, and just Googling? I have nothing against the internet. I love Google, by the way. But I've got to tell you something. That can be your God. shared something interesting yesterday as we were sitting together with youth and family. And John said something that I said I want to repeat to us again, that if you look at your phone 15 minutes when you wake up, you're an addict of the phone. How many of us, you wake up and 15 minutes, before 15 minutes elapse, you're on the phone already? Not reading the Bible. 15 minutes trying to see what message came through. Who's liking me on Facebook, Instagram? What's going on? I just want to see what everybody's doing. Not connecting with God. Then by the time you're done, you've been there an hour, you didn't read the scriptures, you're on the road. That's an idol that's come to your life. That's an idol that needs to be dealt with so that we can hear from the Word of God. And I'm saying this because I am totally convinced that you will not survive just because I talked about the faith in the month of August. You will need to implement the idea that you get in the Word and you pray about that daily, and that is transformative. And I've beat this thing down for a while, but I tell you, your life, your faith depends on it. You have to go back there and yield your heart. It's not just that you read it. Do you yield and say, God, I surrender to you. I listen to you today. I want you to speak to me. That is a question of yielding. Do we yield to God and say, God, please, I want to hear you without reservation? We have reservations. I think the Bible says this, but I have another thought. I think the Bible says this, but my experience. I think the Bible says this, but the way I see things. You haven't yielded to God. That idol is taking charge. And then he fights, and you fight and fight, and you never say, what does God say about that? We always pay dearly for chasing after what is cheap. You know, I remember the first time I was buying my first shoe with my own money. There was all these good shoes that were made out of leather, but there was a new shoe in town. It was called a moccasin. The moccasin looked amazing through the window. And I said to myself, I gotta have that moccasin. I bought the moccasin. I tell you, in 2 months, it was done. It looked very good, but it was paper. It was just paper, very well done. And if you walk with a shoe for so long, the sole just split in two sometimes. That was my first lesson of using my money at 14 years old to buy a shoe. But there was good shoe out there, don't get me wrong, but I wanted it with the latest idea, and that was the moccasin. I think that many of us have abandoned the ancient faith of trusting the Word of God and gone with the latest idea, the moccasin of faith, and is splitting and it's wearing off in a month. It cannot sustain you like the Word of God. We all have idols. I put the American Idol. We got status idol. We got Justin Bieber. Some of us don't like him. Some of us like him. You know, we got all kind of idols that just take over. We're going to talk about a guy like Justin Bieber, then we'll talk about Jesus. And I'm saying this because if you look at your life closely and ask yourself, how have you ordered your life and what takes charge, you will see that there are certain things that have become too prominent. And they control your mood, they control your desires, they control how you see people. It becomes so worldly, it takes over. It's not of God. So to develop faith, we must implement faithful things. We got to get back in scripture, get back in prayer, get in relationships that develop faith, and not where we're just giving up and giving in to the devil's schemes. Secondly, when you yield your heart to God, you're basically walking away from worldliness. Worldliness breeds apathy in the church. James says this after he had talked to them about why are you praying and not getting stuff? Why are you fighting? What, your motives are not in the right place. And he says in verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? He asked that question. Don't you know that you being a friend to this world, you're actually building an enmity towards God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Honestly, are you a friend of God or are you a friend of the world? Where do you feel more
Where do you feel much more comfortable in your life? With God or with the world?
I mean, when you walk around evangelizing, telling people about God, do you feel ashamed that you're talking about God? Or are you comfortable and excited about it? Or do you feel like, oh my goodness, I don't look like a cool guy when I talk about God? Come on, it's about Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our lives. Who is your friend? Verse 5, or do you think Scripture says without reason that he's jealous, longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? You see, when you're worldly, you have an apathy. The apathy you develop is that you're not interested. You're disengaging in a very quiet way. You don't want to show your true colors as a Christian. You almost want to blend and be a part of what's going on. You know, lately I go to Compass and I try to reach out to people. And Compass is an exciting place right now, I just think. See new people come and see all these guys. And we had Bible talk the other day on Tuesday over there. And we were sitting outside having Bible talk. And, of course, there was some music going on the other end. But we still had a good time having Bible talk. And just talking to people about God and how interesting that is. And you see that most people at that age, I have the advantage of being the older guy in town. So at that age, most people are trying so hard to fit. And they're totally negating who they are. And I said, what is it? What is it that you just don't like being who you are? And you see, everybody's trying so hard to fit. I'm like, we need God in this place. And we had a Bible talk. And it was awesome. We continued having a conversation. And yes, I talked to people and some people said, I don't want to come. I'm not interested. But what I notice is this, that there is an apathy about God. Because our view of God is no longer based on the Bible, it's based on CNN. Our view of God is no longer based on the Bible, it's based on some televangelist. Our view of God is no longer based on who God is, it's based on some things that we've felt and we've never checked out what the Bible says and we've just accepted that to be true. You see, you have to check things out for yourself and ask yourself, what is my view of God? What is your true view of God for yourself? Do you have an apathy when it comes to God? You have to ask that question. The particular sin of omission which gives ground to evil spirit is the believer's passivity. Let me connect this to this point. When you have apathy, you start committing the sins of omission. Sins of omission become your way of living. You know what is right, but you will not do it. You know what you need to do, but you will not do it. And over time, it takes hold of you. So you feel fine because I didn't do anything, but you're omitting stuff. Let's face it. Many of us know a lot of things, but we're not doing it anymore. We have been held captive by the sin of omission. You know you need to apologize, you won't apologize. You know you need to make a call, you will not make that call. You know the things you need to do as a couple, as a single person, as a campus student, but you will not do that and you're running into the sin of omission. And you keep rationalizing in your head, I'm fine, you're not fine. You're coming to a place of passivity and your faith is getting dull. That is why we have to tell people about God. Why? We've gotten into the sin of passivity. We don't have strong relationships, you know. Even in our family groups, we're not that tight. Why? The sin of passivity comes in. We don't call. We don't find out how you're doing. If somebody's sick, we don't want to know. He's supposed to call me. He has a phone. He's supposed to put it on GroupMe. GroupMe is not a replacement of one another relationships. Yeah, we all now want to talk on GroupMe. How's everybody doing? We've run away from one another and just we're in the GroupMe. We cannot replace the one another. You got to find out. Take a call and say, how you doing, man? Are you all right? I was just thinking about you today. You want to cut some smoothie? You want to cut some ice cream? You want to cut something? How about that? What happened to that? You don't want to talk about that now. We just want to talk and we cannot use technology to replace the face-to-face conversations.
That's the apathy that's coming into the church. We don't want to have a face-to-face conversation. We want to have conversations online, but never face-to-face. We are busy. I got to tell you something. I was born before the time these things were here. Before all this time, when we said we're going to meet, we met. You say, I'll see you on Sunday at 10. 5 days later, we met Sunday at 10. There was no texting last minute, I can't make it. When we ask, why can't you make it? That's none of your business. Oh, I was just asking. I thought we were friends. What happened now? Now I can't ask that stuff. What happened? That's my private life. You're not yielding to Jesus. And you're not open to influence from the Word of God and the people that the Word of God puts together. Because we do that a lot, then we fester in passivity. And we are passive everywhere. We will not be connected to the Word of God. We are passive there. We're not connected to one another. We are passive there. We're not connected to telling people about God. We are passive there. We're not connecting in serving in the kingdom of God. We have talent and skill and we sit with it. We will not give to God. I will remind you of the story of the 5-talent guy that went out and put it to work and something happened in the 2nd talent. And the 1-talent guy complained bitterly about God being a bad man. Don't wait until you are about to die and then you say, I wish I'd used my talents. Use them here. Use them here. Use your talents here. Seek advice. Figure it out. Connect to something you can do. And God will use you powerfully. The idea that you come up and just sit is not entirely of the body of Christ. The body functions. We have to help each other. Make sense? So let's repent of passivity. Faith, if you're implementing your faith, you need to get out of passivity and get involved, engage fully. Submit to God. James 4, 6 through 10. But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. It's a big struggle for all of us to be humble and to submit to God. That is always a big struggle. A struggle that you and I will always have to fight. Nobody's ever humble forever. That is something we have to walk through day in, day out. We need to get used to that fact that humility is something that you think you're humble until something happens. Then you're like, oh my goodness, I said I was okay until this happened. Now I feel like I'm ready to fight. I'm not trusting God. So this is something we need to get used to. Submit yourself then to God. The word submit requires that you say, God, here's what I want, but what do you want? Here's what I want, but what do you want? And Jesus does that amazingly on the cross. He says, he didn't want to go on the cross. And as he prays about it, he says, according, may your will be done. I don't want to go on the cross, but may your will be done. And he goes on the cross. So many of us have the understanding that to submit to God is to cheat ourselves out of life. Contrary to the truth, it is to achieve the highest level of life when we give ourselves to God. The idea that we preserve self, that is winning, that is actually losing our destiny, our purpose. You're ordained and you need to submit to that ordination from God so that you may find your meaning. It says this, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How is your resistance going towards the devil? Have you coined reasons to why you should sin and that's okay? Is it okay for you to just sin and that's okay and then, you know, everybody does it? We like to use that phrase, but everybody does it. I like, are you sure? A kid just born right now, did he do it as I speak? Did you speak to everybody? Everybody doesn't do what you're doing. And right and wrong is not based on numbers. It's based on God. Truth is not a democracy. Truth is a truth. It's not relative. One man with God is a majority. We need to get that right. Submit to Him. Let God lead you. Come near to God and He will come near to you. We have to take the first step. God is not forcing Himself on us. He's not trying to control us. He's not taking away from us. We've got to take the first step. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We've got to stop having a double mind about God. God is God.
Until you come to that moment of I trust God, you'll have a hard time connecting with God. Some of us, is God really God? He is. He's there. Why are people suffering? I can explain that to you, but God is God. If I knew everything, I'd be that one then. But I'm not, so I don't know why. And I trust that God has a plan. Why do we go through what we go through? Because God knows what is best for us. You see, if you went through life like that, you are much more faithful and ready to deal with it. If you went the other way, you feel sorry, you hold back, you're angry, you don't want to give of yourself. Grief, it says, grief and mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Part of just giving yourself to God, you need grief sometimes. Letting go of stuff that you've held on. You know, sin can be pleasurable. You got to let go of that stuff and grieve it. Let it go. Mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will lift you up. The principle of life is that we humble ourselves and He does the lifting. When we lift ourselves, He humbles us. Which principle are you going to take? Many people want to lift themselves up and not humble themselves before God. God is always asking us to humble ourselves before Him. Humility is not valued in our society today. Not at all. What is valued is pride. An eye for an eye. You punch me, I punch harder. It doesn't help us. It actually makes us, we're reactionary. We're not depending on God. We have been taken over by whatever is happening around us. Let me read this quote for us here. God always has and always will look for men and women who say to Him, I trust you so much, I'm all in. I want your way, not mine. I'm willing to live by faith. If you can only move because of what you see, you have no faith. I want to ask you a question. Is it possible that you've settled down and you're just doing life as business as usual? You're not inspired to say, wait a minute, God has something for me in life. It's just business as usual. I mean, are you really inspired? Is it possible that you go to work and you come home and you watch TV and you sleep and you start over again? And weekends, you change a little bit and maybe go watch a game and do nothing after that. That you're not doing anything that stirs your soul, that makes you feel like, come on, God, this is of God. And that can be your marriage, that can be your children, that can be you as a single person, as a campus. You can feel God in anything you touch. But when your soul is dull, you're not experiencing God. You're experiencing routine. You have a routine, a well-set routine. You just flip, 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 and you know this is the way it works. You know, when it gets interrupted, you're like, oh my goodness, who messed my routine? The Bible says that Jesus was on His way somewhere and He met a madman. That madman was not on the schedule. And Jesus had to have an interaction with that guy. In other words, we have to learn to hear the Spirit and become selfless as we walk with Jesus. Many of us have a routine that has cut out God totally. In fact, the routine becomes your God, small g. Don't get me wrong, we need organization. But an organization that cuts out God is a problem. We need organization, but organization that cuts out God, it's a problem there. So living by faith is bringing yourself to this place where you're inspired by God. So I ask that question again. Are you inspired by God? What inspires you? Is it food? Is it the game? What makes you stand up and yell? It needs to be God. I have nothing against food. Enjoy your food. I have nothing against the game. Go and watch that game. But you got to be inspired by God. That will not happen by you coming to church on Sunday and hearing us speak. You'll have to get in the Word yourself and figure some things out as well.
That will not happen if you're doing your microwave prayers. You'll have to do some meaningful prayer. Amen. That will not happen when you're having a passive attitude towards sin and issues. You'll have to get out and say, I need to deal with this stuff. And turn around. That's when life begins to be transformative. Amen. Deal with the devil's foothold in your life. Let's talk about this. I mean, let's face it. The devil is good at putting footholds in our lives. Let me explain what I mean. I may say one thing. I've been speaking for a good about 25 now, going to 30 minutes, been speaking. Maybe I just said one thing, and because I said that, you're angry with me. You didn't hear anything else I said. You see, or you had a bad week, and it was the boss did not treat you nicely on Monday, but you're still having a bad week on Sunday. This is 6 days later. Or you're expecting something and something didn't go right and you're upset. That is how a foothold functions. It takes energy out of you. It takes faith out of you. You're no longer excited, fired up, convicted about God. Now you're angry, resentful, victimized, just sitting in this position of, I don't think life works for me. And you tell the woomy stories. You're really a victim. You go in that world and talk about it. It's not what happens to you that is the problem. It's how you're dealing with it. It's you're not focusing on God. It's not what happens to you. It is how you're dealing with it. It's you're not praying about it and going to God. You're simply complaining and whining about it. Now, having said that, it's okay to complain, but you cannot be a complainer forever. Yeah, you can complain for a day or two, but after that we say, come on, man. Can we talk about how to resolve this issue? Don't get me wrong. It's okay to complain because you can't be this tough guy that walks through life that just says, I don't complain. I just get headbutts and walk on. No, you have to complain sometimes, but we need to move forward. Move forward. What is the foothold in your life? What is that thing that you've not forgiven that holds you down from giving yourself to God? What is that thing that you don't like about your parents, your mom, your dad, your children, your single brother, your single sister? What is that thing that you just have some serious age on and it holds you down? When you see them, energy leaves you. Spiritual energy, don't get me wrong. You may be walking, but you just felt flustered inside. What is that one thing that holds you down? For some of us, historical stuff, heavy stuff, you may need to do some heavy lifting, see someone that can counsel you. And some of those people are in this room, they can counsel you. You need to trust that God can use them. And for some of us, you need to go back and talk to them, or you just need to pray and let go. Make a decision. Make a decision that I will let go. That you'll stop the psychoanalyzing and all this stuff you need to do and say, I just need to let go. That is a foothold. It holds you down to the extent that you make your life, or your life is defined by what you've experienced. It's very easy to experience things, very painful stuff, and make that I will never trust men again. I'll never trust women again. It was one person, one man. Now, take that one man, learn from how that character was a failure so that you don't make the same mistake again. It was one woman. Learn from that one woman and so that you don't make mistakes again when another one comes by. It was your dad, but he's not alive, or he's alive but doesn't behave himself. You have to live your life. It was your mom. She's not what you wanted her to be, but God is there for you and he can take care of that. It is life station. I wish my life was better today. What about embracing what you have and God showing you a path? Because when you embrace, you stop running and you start growing. When you embrace, you stop blaming and you start saying, God, what are you saying to me? What is your story? So let's finish here. In your anger, do not sin. Yes, you will get angry, but don't sin. Somebody will cut you off this road, but don't sin. You may be angry. Don't call them names. Don't call them names. Hold your tongue and hold your emotions well. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry.
Try and resolve your issues quickly. Foothold takes charge because you're taking too long to talk through things. If you're feeling things, get courageous and talk about them quickly. I have a challenge for us today as a church. If you're feeling something, church, if you're feeling something, don't leave today until we talk about it. If it's me, come and talk about it. If it's somebody else, go talk about it. But when you do, be safe. When you do, be safe. Amen? It went off. I guess it took me out one way or another. So, don't let the sun go down. Deal with it. And do not give the devil a foothold. I have a challenge for us. It's time to let go of historical issues. And if you need to get help, get the help. Some of us will take a day, a week, a month, but let's get on the journey. Let's get on the journey of having faith and not being passive. God bless you.